It's hard to believe that we are already into a new year. Where time goes after all these days. Anyway, looking back, 2017, if you remember, it was the year of Jubilee. I explained to you the meaning of Jubilee a couple of times. Most of us think Jubilee is like joy and celebration, but that's not the original meaning of Jubilee. Jubilee means release or freedom from any type of bondage. Of course, when you are released from any type of bondage, you have joy and therefore you celebrate. But anyway, so throughout the year of 2017, we focused on Jubilee. And thanks be to God who was faithfully with us and He has seen us through all these days. And I don't have enough time this morning to recount all the blessings God has poured upon us, our church and families. However, there are many, I should say, ranging from the physical healings, emotional healings, relationships restored, and financial freedoms. And may the Lord continually bless all of us in all areas of life and granting us the freedom. The year of Jubilee continue on, both physically and spiritually. Now, as pastor of this congregation, I also designate this year, 2018, to be the year of the Bible. I've been pastor for 28 years by now, and my goal has been consistently one. The theme was the restoration of the authority of God's Word that has fallen to the ground. Here's the reality in America today. Lots of people in America consider the Bible either a myth or a good book full of interesting stories. They fail to see the Bible as the indispensable Word of God. Now, if I want to have one legacy in my ministry for all these years, I'd like to choose only one. That is the Bible, God's Word. Every single ounce of my being cries out to you all this morning, get into the Word of God. I cannot overemphasize the importance of God's Word for you, God's people. In my humble opinion, the greatest tragedy of God's kingdom today is the neglect of God's Word among God's people. They may have desire to know God and to please God, yet they do not find time to get into the Word of God. And therefore, they remain in ignorance and suffer from spiritual anemia, the lack of knowledge of God. Now, I asked myself as I prepare my sermon this past week, why do I so unashamedly ask anyone to get into the Word of God? Why is it so important for every child of God to read the Bible? Besides the fact that the Bible is the number one bestseller in human history, I'm sure you heard of that before, besides the fact that that is a good literature to read through, at least once in your lifetime. But let me tell you this, there are far more critical reasons than those two, why we must get into God's Word. So this morning, I'm going to present to you three indispensable reasons for God's Word. First of all, it is God's Word, the Bible, is indispensable for your salvation. Without reading the Word of God, you may jeopardize your own salvation. Now listen to Jesus in today's text one more time. After he was tempted by the devil to turn the stones into bread, this is what Jesus says, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." The key words are people, live on bread alone, and live on every word of God. Clearly, Jesus points out here that in our life, there's something far more important than bread. He is speaking from the eternal perspective. As a matter of fact, if you and I only focus on bread alone for our daily survival, there may be no distinction between animals and us. You know, recently my family adopted a stray cat. It has been fun. Over the past 20 years, we've been, you know, taking care of the animals and one after another. And this is our third cat. We thought, over 20 years of experience, we mastered all about cats, but not really. But one thing I discovered over again is this. This cat, I don't know about your cats, very particularly interested in food. She would do anything to get the food from your hands, from the refrigerator too. We understand animals, you know, that's their survival. But humans are different. Jesus declares that physical and material life alone cannot satisfy your soul. Indeed, who said that? You know, God created a huge hole in our soul that nothing else, no one else but God can fill that hole. Bread alone cannot bring us salvation either. However, God's word does. We need God's word for our salvation. Now, speaking of salvation, what is the necessary condition for your salvation? Being morally good? No. Baptism? No. Circumcision? No. Being a Methodist? Definitely not. Sunday school? Not necessarily. Believing in any religion? Not really. Now, I can tell you more and more about this. There's heaven. There's hell. Now, you begin to wonder, how can Pastor Choi be so sure about these questions? How can he answer all these questions with such an unwavering conviction? All because of God's word. God's word says so. Because God's word clearly defines the necessary condition for our eternal life. What is that after all? One thing. Faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. God's word declares that faith in Jesus Christ is the only necessary condition for your salvation. Now listen to Romans chapter 10 verse 9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So where does faith come from then? The Bible says by hearing and reading the word of God, either proclaimed or written. Listen to Romans 10:17 again. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. I hope by now you see the connection where I am leading you to. I said that without the word of God, there will be no hearing. There will be no hearing, that there will be no faith, and there will be no faith, and there will be no salvation. Do you get it? That's why I say the word of God is crucial and indispensable for your salvation. Now, I know about this and you don't. Perhaps, oh, gee, I didn't realize that one. Not that I am smarter than you are, but that you have not read the Bible. But I have. That's the only difference. Furthermore, I'm telling you, and I'm fully aware of this, the devil's scheme. Why? I can tell you because I have read it in God's word again. You know, we have a spiritual enemy we call the devil, Satan. He tries everything to keep you from what? Getting saved. So how does he do it? Keep you from getting into the word of God. Very simple. Now here's how he does it. By taking your mind and heart off from God's word. By keeping you busy in your lives that you don't have any time left or desires to get into God's word. By giving you impression or even fears that God's word is too difficult for you to understand. Therefore, you better not try. That's Satan's absolute lies and deception. Let's say somehow you have overcome all these obstacles and temptations. You're finally ready to get into God's Word for your salvation. Now, as you open the Bible and try to concentrate on God's Word, guess what will happen to you? Beware of the devil's scheme. He will try to snatch away God's Word from your heart. Now, if you read Mark chapter 4, and if you read Luke chapter 8, you will see the parable of the sower. I'm sure some of you heard of this. Jesus one day, the parable, by the way, is the lesson, the story with a lesson built in it. Jesus says, a sower went out into the field and started spreading the seeds all over. Of course, you're expecting some harvest later on, but some seeds fell on the pathway, the road. The birds in the air came down and devoured the seeds right away. And the second fell on the rock, and third one fell on the field with a lot of weeds. The last one is good soil. And this is what Jesus explains, how he explains. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those beside the road, pathway, are those who have heard what? The word of God. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they will not believe and saved. Do you see all these connections, what Jesus is saying? Word of God is always constantly being sown in your heart. And guess what? The devil, unless you are just fully aware of it and vigilant, he will come and take away the word from your heart so that you may not believe and be saved. That's Satan's scheme. Now, this happens every single Sunday during the sermon. Believe it or not, the sermon time is a spiritual battleground. The preacher before you sows God's word into your heart, and the devil, on the other hand, tries to snatch away from your heart. Now, a lot of us, sadly, are not aware of the spiritual battle going on and just let it happen. And you have experienced before, oh, I need to go shop right after the service, and here's the list and all these things. I need to do something else. And before you come back to the sermon is over. It's not coincidental, folks. Something spiritually happening in your heart, and you didn't know about it. What happens is if you let it happen that way, you go for another week without God's word sown in your heart, your spiritual food. So folks, if you're serious about your own salvation, which every one of us is, you will get into the word of God with diligence and vigilance. The word of God is indispensable for your salvation. The second point I'm making is this. It is also the indispensable for your life's journey. You know, God provides us with his word, the Bible, as the GPS for our lives. Our life on earth is pilgrimage to heaven. We are not here for nothing. We have a final destination we are heading to, that is heaven. The Bible, therefore, is the road map to heaven. You see, in our pilgrimage, we are not alone. You and I walk together with fellow believers, sisters and brothers in Christ. We also journey together with Jesus our Lord. We travel together and he is always with us. And the Bible says that that's what God has called us into. Now listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 9. It says this, God is faithful and through whom you, the believers, were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, we are called into the relationship with Jesus Christ our Lord. The key phrase is the Lord, not a servant. You see, some of us think Jesus like a genie in a bottle, whom we call for our needs only whenever we need to scratch the bottle and genie comes out. We treat him like a servant at our beck and call. We act like we are the master, not Jesus. But that's not what the Bible says about our relationship with Jesus. He is our Lord, and we are his servants. By the way, this is a great time for you to check your relationship with Christ. Do you call on his name only in emergencies? A lot of us do. Such a relationship, no matter how hard we try to beautify it, It is not real. It is not close. It is not an even intimate one. You and I both know. Listen, your fellowship with Christ cannot be close or intimate unless you spend time making efforts to get to know Him. You may say, Pastor Troy, I pray. I know you do. And prayer works and prayer helps. However, prayer is not everything. You must read the Word of God to know Jesus personally. Why? Because that's where Jesus reveals Himself to us. The Bible is about Jesus. Did you know that? It's about God. It's about the fallen humanity through sin. And it's about God's love that sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, to the cross to save us from our sins. That's the brief summary of what the Bible is all about. And therefore, in the Bible, in the Word of God, we can have daily fellowship with Christ. Now, the third reason, the Bible, God's Word, is indispensable for our sanctification. I'm using the big word, sanctification. What is it? Don't be intimidated with the word. Sanctification basically means to be like Jesus. To be more like Jesus. As we travel together with Christ on our pilgrimage, guess what? We become more like Him. I don't know about you. In my elementary school days and in my early middle school days, there's always my favorite teacher, one or two. Of course, there are some other teachers, you know, I don't like. And that's for... Anyway, so for those favorite teachers, somehow I began to imitate their handwritings. How many of you experienced that one? Young kids perhaps don't know what is handwriting nowadays. But really, back then, I began to imitate their handwriting style and also their manners, the way they speak and the tones and everything. We begin to imitate someone whom we admire and we love. So on our pilgrimage to heaven, as we walk along with Jesus, it's natural for us to imitate Him, to be like Him. And during that pilgrimage, guess what? God uses His Word, the Bible, to transform us into Christ's image. You know, I love the word transformation. What do you understand of transformation? Transformation, that's the Greek word of metamorphosis. Metamorphosis is what, from cocoon to a butterfly, isn't it? So if you think you are a cocoon and God turns you into the totally different image like Christ, and He uses His Word to do so. Here's what He does with His Word. His Word keeps us from sinning against God. The reason why we need to take God's Word seriously, you store God's Word in your heart, and that keeps you from going in the wrong directions. Believe or not, that's how God designs His Word. Here's another thing. His Word washes us from the defilements of the world. You know how many times we realize that, boy, the world we are living in, it's getting worse and worse. How many of you feel that way? Yes. Sometimes it's scary to live another day. And we are so concerned about future generations. Boy, you know what kind of world you're inheriting from us. Because the world indeed is a scary place, and a lot of influences, you know, poured upon not only ourselves, but on our future generations too. And the way it does this, the world is full of evil, violence, and all kinds of things. And in God's eyes, it defiles. All this violence and evil defiles us. It's like, spiritually speaking, you go into God's throne room, God says, boy, you have all the clothes are spoiled. Why don't you take up and I'll wash it for you? That's what happens in our prayer times and in our Bible times. God's Word, this is what the Bible says. God's Word washes us from the defilements of the world. That's why you need to get into the Word of God to have fresh, new, you know, all clean clothes from God. Thirdly, God's Word trains and equips us for every good work. You heard of this, 2 Timothy 3. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God, the person of God, may be adequate, equipped for every good work. The word of God is for our sanctification, to transform us into Christ's image. Now, Psalmist 3,000 years ago wrote this, "Thy word, the word of God, is a lamp unto my feet and the light unto my path." I love that verse. Now, those who do not read the word of God, their paths will remain in the dark and they will stumble. However, those who are led by the word of God will walk in the light and not stumble. Now imagine this. You are a medical doctor and it's the first patient in your office for 2018. You just come in and you looked at the person and something's not right with this individual. So you checked all the vitals. Vitals seems okay, except this person is skin and bones. What would you do if you're a medical doctor? You would say, this is doctor's order, okay? Start eating. Eat every day. Do not skip a meal. Feed yourself well. Wouldn't you say that? You would say it. Now, I'm taking that analogy into our spiritual sense. Here's your pastor standing before you. You have a pastor's order for you. To feed your soul with the word of God daily. Do not skip a day and feed your spirit with the word of God faithfully. And come back here. I'll see you in 2 weeks or something. Now, some of you think that, oh, okay, Pastor Cho wants me to get into the Word of God, so I'm going to go to the upper room or our daily bread, a lot of devotionals out there. I'm not saying anything bad about that. They're good devotionals. However, I strongly encourage you to dive into God's Word directly yourself. Do not undersell your devotions with God. Go for the best. Go for the genuine word of God, not the second hand. Because when God speaks to you directly through his written word, let me tell you, the impact on your soul will be much more powerful than any devotionals can do. It's like a first time falling in love with someone, yourself, versus you hear and read about someone else's falling in love with someone else. That's how different it is. So I wrote about this in our newsletter as well. So here's my goal for 2018, for me and for my congregation. I'm looking for 40 more individuals, people of God, who have completed a reading of the Bible from cover to cover by the end of the year. When I say 40, here's the reason why. You know, the congregation I served before I came down here, it's one-third the size of this congregation. By the time I left that congregation, you know, I called the book club. I didn't bring it to this morning, but it's a notebook in which I, with my handwriting, I write down their names and the date they finished reading the entire Bible. The total number was 28 or 29. Small congregation, but, you know, almost 30 people finished reading it, and I thought, well, three times bigger that size, and we should be able to have at least 90 or 100 people here. Now, for your information, let me tell you, so far in my almost 5 years of, you know, ministry here, about 13 people completed reading the Bible. We could do better than that. If you're not one of the 13, I want you to be one of the 40 people who would tell me by the end of December, Pastor Choi, I finished reading the entire Bible. And with my delight, I'd write down your name. I'm going to carry it all the way to my casket. Sarah, did you hear me? Put that note in my casket. You'd make my day and my year. Again, you don't do it for Pastor Choi himself, but you do it for yourself. And those folks who have completed reading, do not stop there. I finished it, therefore you stop. No, you keep going and going it. And the best part is this, as you do it, you become more like Jesus. And by the way, I also chosen the scripture for you, so don't forget to pick one for each member of your household. Okay, let's bow our heads and pray. It's amazing, Lord. in the midst of temptations, we would look for strength and wisdom and courage to fight off and ward off the temptations. But Jesus, out of so many ways that he could defeat the devil, he quoted, "It is written in the Word of God." There we go, Lord. There's a power in the mighty Word of God to defeat our enemy. We've been missing this great source of our wisdom and salvation and strength that is all hidden in your Word. So I pray that, Lord, you give us desire to carry on and get into the Word of God and live with triumph and victory every single day. With the help of your Word, in Christ's name we pray. Amen.